Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Sports Talk. I'm your host, Connor Sutton, joined by Dan Anderson once again. And a lot of good sports news around the world with March Madness heating up before Round two technically starts, but round one starts on tomorrow. But a lot of good stuff to get to today. We're going to start with some news that was kind of shocking to most people, which is that Mike Trout re-signed with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for 12 years, $430 million, the largest contract in sports history. And, I mean, it is truly, truly shocking just because of how much bigger of a contract it was than Manny Machado or Bryce Harper.
Right, yeah. So Bryce Harper owned the biggest contract in baseball history for 17 days. And then the Angel, which was interesting because there's a lot of talk that the Phillies were setting up to bring Trout over when his contract was over. But the Angels apparently decided against that. But, yeah, $430 million. And there's rumors that he left money on the table. He could have gotten up to $450 as if he would have hit the free agent market.
Wow. I mean, so, here's the problem with these big contracts, and we talked about it with the Bryce Harper contract. It seems like those contracts that these teams are doing, and then in 4 to 5 years they're going to completely regret it. We saw it with the Giancarlo Stanton contract in Miami with the Marlins. Then he got traded to the Yankees because they didn't want to deal with his contract. And I think we're going to see something relatively similar with this Mike Trout contract, because 12 years, $430 million, and we've seen Trout has been arguably the best player in baseball for 5 to 6 years, and still they haven't even made the playoffs. I mean, and that it has more to do with the organization's drafting, their minor league, and how they bring in other players around them. But when you have this staple guy like you do in other sports, if you pay a quarterback big money, you pay a guard or a forward big money in basketball, most likely you're going to make the playoffs. So that's what's kind of strange about baseball, is you can pay this guy big money, and the fact that they're still not going to make the playoffs, more than likely.
I wouldn't guess it on, or I wouldn't bet on it this year. The rumor is that he had heard, or he'd been watching all the spring training. They got a couple guys coming down the pipe that he believes in, the draft that they have had and what's coming up down the pipe. So he thinks that this is the place where I think I could win. It's betting a lot.
Why not go to a team that has improved it? That's what I don't understand. But when you get 12 years, $430 million, it's hard to argue.
Yeah, the other thing is he wanted to be that one-player guy, be the guy that plays his whole career in one place.
And I respect that.
He's taking home – this is the craziest part to me. So the $430 million, he's going to take home about $213 million after taxes. So if he would have signed that contract in Miami or somewhere where the tax rate is much lower than it is here in California – He's looking at much more. So that's the thing. I was like, what are you doing? That should have been like a $500 million contract.
Right.
But, I mean, I respect the fact that he wants to be there and he wants to build with the team that bet on him up front, but that's a lot of years. But he does have a no-trade clause, so he can kind of dictate this. And teams, the Yankees and teams like that, will pull the trigger. If it gets to a point where Trout thinks this is not going to work out and starts forced to trade, it is tradable compared to some of these other contracts. When they do it, the 12 and 13 years, which Harper got,
right?
It spreads it out a little bit more. So, I mean, he's still making,
30 million a year, yeah.
30 million
on average. But here's what I don't understand is I've seen people talk about, well, now all of a sudden that these big deals are being made in baseball. Now people are talking about Kyler Murray again, who decided to play football over baseball. And I still go back to my same argument that no matter that these top players are getting paid big money, the average quarterback in the NFL not only gets better contract deals, but also is more marketable to where they can make more money in advertising and things of that nature. And the chance of you and going to make $430 million is so rare because Mike Trout arguably is one of the best players of all time. I mean, despite the fact, the problem is you can't really put him in that category because he hasn't really gotten the postseason, and it's not necessarily his fault.
Which it seems like in baseball, that's not quite as...
No, it's not.
They don't... People's legacies aren't hung on playoff success as much as it is in, like, football. We talk about rings all the time.
Right.
In basketball, we talk about those... People are chasing those six Jordan rings. Like, we know those numbers. In baseball, we don't really focus too much on it, but I get what you're saying, yeah.
But especially for an outfielder like Mike Trout, he gets, what, 4 to 5 at-bats a game. He's unbelievable in the field as well, but, I mean, he's maybe involved in 10% of the game. That's why I don't think spending this kind of money on one player makes a lot of sense, unless now you're starting to, now because they're having to compete with a little bit with Manny Machado in San Diego, you still need that star factor. But if you're just setting up a franchise from scratch, it makes more money to spread, makes more sense to spread that money around, get numerous good players at different positions, then you have a better chance of making the playoffs and possibly getting a World Series ring.
Right. The one thing that they have in baseball, that's why I just saw a list of the top 12 contracts in all the sports, in history of all the sports. All of them are baseball except for number two, which is the Canelo Alvarez deal he just signed. He's making $78 million a year for the next 5 years. And then James Harden is number 12 on that list. Every single other one is a baseball contract because they don't have the salary cap.
Right.
So they don't. You're not really handcuffing yourself as much as no, you would be in,
right,
in football or
you
in
don't have a luxury tax correct type thing. But
yeah.
I mean, you still gotta. There's still a number you gotta hit.
But the way that baseball is set up, because everything is guaranteed, if you want to keep that guy and try to draw some free agents, you got to pay the $430 million over 12. Like you have
right
to do it, or else nobody's going to sign with you. Like when
right
Arenado signed for it, he signed an 8-year contract, $260 million, I think it was this year, which is number 7 on the list.
Right.
I thought it was a steal. I was like, oh, you're only getting them for 8 years. It just seems like everybody else is, if you're not coming with 10, you're not getting
right
anything.
Right. And these baseball players are very, very aware of how to get their money.
They are. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Bryce Harper signed $330 million and Mike Trout signed $430 million. There's something they know. I'm going to get $100 million more than you, and that's going to be out in the press like that. So I think it's definitely interesting the way that it's set up. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Like you said, it's a lot of money to throw at a guy and no guarantee that you're making the playoffs because they haven't made any other moves, really.
Right.
And if I had to bet, I would not say that they're going to the playoffs this year out of that division.
Right, right. And that's the problem with baseball is one guy is so – now, that comes back to the argument of what's more important. I think you and I have had this argument before the radio show started. What's more important to a team, a starting pitcher or a position player? And I don't remember whose argument was what, but I believe I was a pitcher guy.
Right, I think.
I just think that you're – even though you only throw one out of every five games – you're so heavily involved in that fifth game or that one game you throw that you basically control your own destiny in that game. If you're a good pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, you're more valuable than for instance, Mike Trout. So say they're the equal skill level at position player and pitcher. To me, it makes more sense to have a pitcher because you have a guaranteed one win where Mike Trout can go 5 for 6 in a game with 2 home runs and his pitcher is terrible.
Still, correct, yeah.
You're more important than the offense because you can control the entire defensive side of the game.
Yeah, I think I remember this argument because I still would side slightly. I don't think it's a huge gulf there, but I would rather have Trout than Bumgarner if we still think Bumgarner is the best. Whoever we say is the best pitcher in baseball, I'd still pick Trout because he can influence every day. Bumgarner, you're waiting.
Right.
But like you said, you can kind of flex those if you have a big series against the Giants coming up and you're the Dodgers. You can kind of go, well, let me rest him an extra day so he can pitch this. So you can kind of fix it that way. In Trout's situation, you get him every day, but if the ninth inning rolls around, you need a big hit. He might be sixth in the batting order. You don't see him. So the very interesting thing about baseball, those guys that you're paying that much money out to, there's no guarantee they're going to be up in the big spots when you need them in the big spots.
And here's another thing, too. How many baseball fans go to games specifically to see certain players? I think we see that most often in basketball, often in football. But in baseball, I mean, I don't think you're going to go to an Angel game to watch Mike Trout. I mean, you might, but I'm saying you're more likely to go see LeBron James or Kyrie Irving or James Harden or some of these other guys.
I would say I agree with that. I think a lot of people, like I go to, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I go to a lot of A's Red Sox games. And people are there to see the Red Sox. They're not there to see, like, it's great Mookie's there, but if Mookie wasn't there, the Red Sox are there. The Yankees games, people are coming to see those pinstripes, not necessarily who's in the uniform.
Baseball is still the main sport where fans are fans of a team, not necessarily players, where basketball nowadays, you're more fans of players, especially with the younger generation, and kind of same thing with football, although I would say it's a lot closer to baseball.
I would say basketball is the most, this is the guy, like I went and saw the Kings-Bucks game because, I'm a Kings fan, but I'm like, oh, Giannis is in town. I better go see that.
Yeah. And speaking of which, D'Angelo Russell in the fourth quarter against the Kings last night was rough. It was rough, Jared. We were up 27 in the fourth quarter, and they came back and won. It was a quiet crowd after the game. And then celebrated on the floor. That was
the ugliest loss of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
By far.
Absolutely. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. I have a proposal for you, Dan, about how to solve this, should NCAA pay their college basketball players, and how the NBA can possibly come up with a solution here. So that's up next here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. What shall we do
about them? Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment two here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Dan Anderson joining me. And our wonderful producer, Jared King, in the room next to us. So, the whole Zion Williamson busting through his shoe, it started this whole debate of should the NCAA pay players. It's been this constant argument that has been happening probably the last 4 to 5 years. And I've come up with what I think is a good solution, Dan. I kind of mentioned this short briefly during the commercial break. But I don't think the NCAA, at least in the next 4 to 5 years, is going to pay players. I just don't think it's going to happen. So my other solution is what the NBA can do, because now that they have this now that they have a developmental league in the G League that is actually owned by the NBA, what they can do is you can draft players directly out of high school, but then they have 1 year, similar to how they do it in college, except for you don't have to go to college. You go directly to the G League for a year. That's a developmental year. You learn how to handle your social media correctly. You learn how to deal with fans, how to deal with the media. You learn how to handle your finances, your taxes, how to do all that sort of things, where to invest, where not to invest. We hear about players investing in restaurants, which is one of the worst investments they could do because we've seen them fail multiple times. So what that does is that makes it so the NCAA doesn't have to pay players. If you're a top player, you're going to get drafted. You can't make that argument anymore that, oh, I would have gotten drafted if I didn't have to go to college, because that's eliminated. So that means that these players who aren't as good and aren't going to get drafted, they do go to college if they don't go to the G League. Because the G League players aren't making great money, but they're making decent money. They're making more money than they would make in college.
Right.
However, it would make the college game not as good as far as players-wise, but we've seen that happen. I mean, think about it 20 years ago when players had to go play in college for 3 to 4 years. So we've seen that kind of dwindle down. Now it's down to 1 year. So college basketball might not have as great of players, but I think this what it'll do is actually guys will go to college for longer. Because they don't, that 1 year isn't for sure, and then you're competing against guys who come out of high school. So what all of this does, college basketball's ratings, I don't believe, will drop that much, if at all, because it's still about the rivalries. It's about the Duke Carolina. It's about the coaches. It's about those big games. You still have the conference championships. March Madness is still going to be incredible because everybody wants to fill out a bracket and wants to see the upsets. And I don't think it'll take away so much from college basketball where it would completely eliminate it. And the G League is not going to be bigger than college basketball. So it just gives that developmental year for players. They get to be around the NBA style, but they also get to play more games. And they're on the team. They know who they're going to. They don't have to worry about the draft situation after they play in college. So it kind of eliminates two sides of things.
Right. I agree with you 100% about the college basketball. Like the years, there was a few years there where you could go straight. Like we saw Garnett, Kobe, LeBron all skip and go straight. And
Kwame Brown.
And people, yeah, exactly. People watched the tournament all the time. So college basketball, people are going to watch that. That's like we were talking about last segment. That's one of the sports. People don't care about the big names as much, except for like the smaller schools. Like the big names can really elevate a big small school. But people, the Tar Heels and Duke, that game, you and I could be playing on those teams. People are going to be watching that game. So I agree with that. The thing I would ask you, do you think, so say Zion comes out, one of the most highly touted recruits since LeBron James, but LeBron James wasn't even in the same area because he wasn't forced to go, probably Melo or somebody along those lines. Do you think he bypasses the opportunity? So he knows he's going to go 1 year. Okay, in your new scenario, I'm going to go pro. I'm going to go play for the Mad Ants or whoever he's playing in the G League, like Fresno. He's driving around Stockton.
Sure.
Or do you think that big college game day atmosphere? I still think a lot of players.
I agree with you.
Will
they're going to choose to go to college?
Like, I want to go play in the tournament. I want to play for Coach K. I want to be with those guys and not just.
Well, we're gonna find out if they care more about money or if they care about playing basketball and being a good player. Because the G League, those guys are going to care about getting paid right away. That's where they're going to go. And the G League currently has a pretty much a median pay scale. Nobody really gets paid that much higher than one or another. So you're not getting paid a whole lot. You renegotiate after that first year in the G League when you come to the NBA. Or not renegotiate, but you have that set scale that they have now for draft picks. However, you have to go. I think a lot of players are going to choose to go to college, and that kind of eliminates the paid players. Like, well, you could have gone and played in the G League for a year, so you can't complain about it.
And then, so the one issue comes in. I think basketball, this makes great sense. We talked a little off air about football is where it gets a little bit more dicey because right now it's you got to be 3 years removed from your high school days.
Yeah.
So there's and they have no development. Like, they just started the Alliance of American Football, but that's not there's not enough teams to facilitate all these players here.
Right. And it's a different season.
And it's different. So I think basketball, it could be solved like
absolutely.
By that. I mean, Zion has proved it to me that I think guys would choose, because when he went down after his shoe exploded here, everybody was like, he's proven enough, he should never play for Duke again. Which financially, I guess I see that side of it, but he's a 19-year-old kid who wants to play with his buddies. Like, he loves playing basketball. You're going to tell him, don't play so you can make more money?
And he had a large insurance policy, too. It's not like he had everything on the line.
Guys like Zion, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just don't know
Sorry, real quick, Dan. Let me say this, too, is that if Zion came out of high school to go to the pros, he would not have been the number one pick. R.J. Barrett, as of last year, before this season started, was on number one on a lot of draft boards. So this year helped Zion, too. So let's not forget that as well.
Exactly, because I think, we did see what we all knew of Zion before is he could dunk a lot. That's all we saw. Yep. Now we see he's actually a pretty good player top of all that. So I just don't know if there's a way. I can't think of a way to do it in football that would make sense unless they started a developmental.
What if they go on the practice squad for a year or 2 years?
See, and that's the same situation. If you did that way, I think college football is unchanged because no guys wants to go play for the Buccaneers practice squad for 2 years when I could be the star of Ohio State or whatever.
Right. No, I totally agree. But if they want to go get paid, that's what they're saying these guys want to get paid. They want to get paid. Well, if you want to go get paid, go be a practice player. They get paid pretty decent money.
I mean, I'd take that salary for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, if you give them an option to go play and get paid, I think that kind of eliminates the NCAA of, we should pay players. However, we know the NCAA is making all this money on the tournament and the championships and all that kind of stuff. But it kind of eliminates, we should pay the players because you have an out. If you really want to get paid, the players could go somewhere else.
I agree with it. The solution is much more closely to what you're saying than having the NCAA play, because it gets really dicey with a school like Alabama. All of their money, the main majority of it comes from football.
Yep.
And the way that Title IX and things are set up, you're going to have to pay women's water polo the same as college football.
Right.
I don't think that's what people have in mind when they're like, pay Tua this year because he's that good.
Yeah.
But so I think it is much more aligned. Give him an option. Because right now, basketball, if you really wanted to,
you could go overseas. Yeah. Nobody's doing that.
Because you want to play for Duke. You want to play for North Carolina. Yeah. Like, we see Doncic, but he's over there already. And he actually tweeted after Zion blew his knee up, or thankfully it didn't blow his knee up, blew his shoe up, said, you could have gone and played overseas.
Yeah,
so,
go play for Real Madrid.
But nobody wants to do that because there's not the eyes there. You're not getting scoped out like you would be playing ACC basketball.
So I think those are minor solutions. You still have the greater issue of the NCAA making all this money and where is it going. But at the same time, those are only the championship games. And like you said, a lot of the money that Alabama or these big schools make off their basketball or their football programs, a lot of that they use to fund the other programs underneath it too. So it's not like the money's just going directly into the coaching. And I know the reason why coaches are getting paid so much nowadays in college sports is because that having a good coach is so important, and it can change everything because coaching is way more vital than players because you can get new players all the time.
And it's recruiting. Yeah, a lot of it is recruiting those big names to put your – like what Saban's done in Alabama is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And he deserves every penny he's got. I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying here. I think the solution for this, if paying players is what we think it should happen, and I used to be – very against it, but over the last couple of years, this makes more sense to me. Like the way that the schools are using the likenesses of these players, it seems a little shady.
Yeah, and especially when you're selling jerseys with guys' numbers on the back, they can't sell them with their names on the back.
But we all know.
I mean, we know who number 4 for Michigan was when Chris Webber was playing there.
If you have a number 15 Florida Gators jersey, everybody knows that's Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, there's only probably a select few guys that has that kind of noticeable jersey number in the last 30 years. But, I mean, it's they're still getting sold, especially at Alabama, where pretty much a lot of those diehard fans know almost every player.
For sure, yeah.
So I just think that's a big factor. I mean, I don't know if that is the solution, but it is certainly one that can the NCAA could use. But the problem is the NCAA is the one who can make the solutions.
Yeah, the other problem, yeah, I was just about to say, it's NBA rules and NFL rules.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They don't. What do they care?
Yeah.
They're making more money than they know what to do with, so they have no incentive to
right now
to
it's
change.
The NCAA's problem. It's not the NFL's
for
problem.
Sure.
It's not the NBA's problem. So those leagues are sitting there like, we have bigger issues right now. NCAA, you figure your own stuff out.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into some bracketology. Who goes what? Who is the most likely number one pick to lose? Not number one pick, but number one seed to lose in the tournament. That's coming up next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Paid for by Brian Daly for Senate, 2019.
Kevin Kiley voted to help illegal immigrants who are convicted criminals stay in our country. He voted to spend tax dollars helping illegal immigrant students get financial aid. Kevin Kiley worked for Liberal Democrat Kamala Harris, who supports amnesty and let illegal immigrant criminals go rather than prosecute them. Now, Kevin Kiley is distracting voters from his liberal illegal immigration record by deceitfully attacking Brian Daly. The truth is, as Assembly Republican leader, Brian Daly led the fight against sanctuary cities and has always opposed amnesty. Unlike Kevin Kiley, Brian voted against wasting our tax dollars on illegal immigrants. Brian Daly, endorsed by six county sheriffs because he's tough on crime and illegal immigration. Brian Daly, A-rated by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association because he protects our tax dollars. Reject Kevin Kiley's deceitful smear campaign. Fight amnesty and illegal immigration. Send Reagan Republican Brian Daly to the Senate on March 26th.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
When you need assistance applying for veteran benefits, consider utilizing the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. Our veteran representatives are all military veterans that are highly trained and fully accredited, giving you the best support possible. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We welcome you to our office at 1855 Shasta Street to see what benefits are awaiting you. Please call us at 225-5616.
Welcome back here to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton and Dan Anderson. All right, some bracketology stuff, and I want to start with this, Dan, because this is one thing that frustrates me. So there's 68 teams technically in the tournament.
Right.
And we have these college basketball experts that I put in air quotes as I say that, who on ESPN and all these different sports media channels, things like that, radio, they say that, oh, man, you know, I just have a good feeling about Vermont. I'm like, you're watching all 68 teams,
right,
and breaking them down. So my point is, nobody has any idea. They might know maybe the top 20 teams, but like, unless you're watching a team like very closely, like it just does not make sense to me that there's so much, oh, I just have a really good feeling about this number 10 Florida team. It's like, come on.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it is interesting because these guys watch way more college basketball than I do,
absolutely.
For sure. But yeah, there's no way you can have your pulse or your finger on the pulse of all of college basketball. And then it was funny, I was watching ESPN this morning, Golic and Wingo show, and Seth Greenberg was on talking about in the West bracket, we have a Nevada-Florida 7-10 matchup.
Yeah.
Greenberg was like, here's why Florida is going deep, and he thinks they might upset Michigan. And then the very next segment, Jay Williams was on telling me why he thinks Nevada is going to go deep. And I'm like, I just had two experts tell me the exact opposite things here. So it is pretty funny how these experts – and part of it is I think they're forced. ESPN's like, okay, go.
You need to have a team that's a high seed to go deep.
Exactly.
And that's the problem. Nobody has any idea. That's one of the reasons why everybody's bracket gets busted day one or day two.
And you always see the, like, whoever has the best bracket is, like, some old – grandma somewhere in the middle of Indiana who
absolutely
was like, oh, I looked at the mascots and the Terriers were better than the Devils. So,
right.
You never know.
So that being said,
we're going to tell you why we're smarter than you.
Yeah. No. That's not it. I just think that, so there's a couple games in here that kind of are interesting to me. The first one is Virginia's a one seed again. And last year they were the first team to get upset by the number 16 seed. And the reason why I think Virginia, who had a great year, I believe won the ACC in the regular season, and to me, it seems that because they play such good defense, but they don't score that well, they're very vulnerable. Because if a team shoots well against them, like UMBC did last year,
that's exactly what happened to me.
They're screwed.
The pace of play, they play fairly slow.
Right.
And you can get burnt bad on a team like UMBC. I think the committee last year didn't do him any favors by putting him up against a team like that, like UMBC, who runs and can shoot. This year, I'm not going to pretend to know that I know much about their first-round matchup. I don't know much about this team, so I don't know. But what I've heard from the experts is they're more of a slow-style pace. So I don't anticipate it happening again.
And Virginia is going to be so hypersensitive
exactly
to it happening last year. Like, I don't know what the spread is going to be, but I would – it's probably going to be like 13 because it's Virginia.
Right.
But I would probably take Virginia because I just think they just want to get through that first round game.
Can you imagine, though, if they lost two years in a row, you can't come back from that. That's unbelievable.
I mean, yeah.
I will say this has never happened 2 years in a row, so they can hang their hat on that.
That's true. That's true. All right. I was going to actually say Florida as one of my dark horse teams, but now that you mentioned that, I don't want to bring them up. But have you paid attention at all? What are some of the dark horse teams that you've been paying attention to? We'll talk about who we have in our Final Four lately and if we think anybody can beat Duke. But who's your dark horse team?
So there's two that I think a lot of people are picking. Most every year we have a 12-5. We usually have two of those.
Right.
Everybody is on the Murray State bandwagon. I've seen it all over the place. They have this guy that plays for them who's really good. I kind of tried to shy away from teams who are just with one player, because I got bit bad on the Jimmer Fredette year with BYU.
Yeah.
I went all in on Jimmer Fredette, and it didn't turn out too well. But I
well, especially after that after the conference tournament where he just
was
lit up San
insane.
Diego State.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do think Murray State can take Marquette. From all appearances, that game is going to be a shootout. That's regardless of what happens there, it's going to be a great game to watch. The other one people are really big on, but I think it's a little bit fluky, is the up in the South region, is Oregon is number 12 over Wisconsin. People are picking them. But Oregon, because they just steamrolled through the Pac-12, but I don't think
the
Pac-12
is terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are on that one. The one that
I actually have Wisconsin in my Elite Eight. I have them beating Virginia in the Sweet 16, yeah.
The team that I really like is Yale. They're a 14th seed in the East over LSU. LSU is a total disaster right now. Their coach might be arrested. They have so much distractions going on that I think a team like Yale, who shoots well, I actually did watch their conference tournament, the Harvard-Yale game,
yeah,
and they can shoot the lights out. So if they can get going, I really like Yale. So that's my one upset that I really like. And then, like I said, Murray State, you're going to hear that anywhere you go. Murray State, people like them.
Mine is Belmont. So Belmont,
they won yesterday, so they had to play to get
they
in.
They had to play
and
to
they
get
got in.
In
yesterday, yeah.
And I watched part of their game, but they also have their backcourt is really, really talented. And they have, I believe, their main scorer is possibly in the top 10 going to be in the NBA draft. So something to keep an eye on. Anytime you have a guy like that, think about Steph Curry a couple years ago who can shoot. Sometimes you can, like you said, the exact opposite of me with Jimmer Fredette.
Right.
But I'm falling for it, Dan. I'm taking Belmont to upset Maryland and then upset LSU, who I just, again, went against you on the whole Yale thing.
But the one thing is with Jimmer, they had their star. They had another star who got suspended right at the last second. So they were kind of thrown into turmoil a little bit. Murray State, they have another guy, like a 7-footer, who can play. So I would tend to agree with you. Belmont has a much better chance than the Jimmer year. But so who do you like in, we'll say, Elite Eight? Do you have any upsets going all the way to the Elite Eight?
Yeah, so, well, my one was Wisconsin. But
Wisconsin,
They're a 5 seed, so they're not.
It's not unheard of.
That's not unheard of. Yeah, no, I just think they're a pretty good team. But it's tough because it just seems like every year you try and pick somebody who's going to go to the Elite Eight, and your best odds, I mean, Dickie V gets criticized for this every year, but he usually picks all one seeds
ones or twos
or threes. And, I mean, you can't really argue with him because you're like, oh, that's not bold. Well, if he's right, then what's the point? I mean, who cares?
Right. And this year, more than any other,
it's heavy, yeah. Top heavy.
I think the top 8 or so are pretty much a cut above the rest here. So
I mean, I think Gonzaga and Virginia are both kind of vulnerable, especially because Gonzaga doesn't have a very good conference. I think Michigan is going to come out of the West.
I agree with that.
But I who beats Gonzaga? I don't know. Syracuse, Baylor, that's kind of up for grabs.
I have Florida State actually taking them out. I have them going into the Elite Eight and then losing to Michigan. But so, to what you teased, you said which number one seed do you think is going out first?
I don't think there's any way Virginia makes it to the Final Four. But that being said, they have a chip on their shoulder from last year. I have a feeling that they'll get further, and I think Gonzaga's going to get knocked out first.
I agree. I think it's Gonzaga. I have Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia all in the Elite Eight. I have Tennessee actually coming out of the South bracket. I think people are overreacting to the big loss they took in the SEC tournament. But I think they're a good team. They can defend well. But I agree with you. Gonzaga is going to be the first to go down of the number ones.
All right, we'll talk a little bit more, and I have some trivia stuff for Jared coming up after the break. We'll be back here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Segment four here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton and Dan Anderson. All right, so I mentioned it before the break. Jared, here's all I need you to do. I'm going to ask for five. Can you name five teams in the tournament right now that are going to be in the tournament? We've mentioned
more than five.
Probably 30.
What tournament?
The NCAA.
We're off to a great start.
The NCAA tournament. Now, let me preface with this, that Jared does not pay attention to sports at all, so this is why this is perfect. Just five teams that are in the tournament. Five schools.
I don't know if I can name five schools, period. North Carolina.
Oh, there's one. That's good. Who's their rival? We've been talking about them a lot.
I don't know. Clemson.
Is Clemson in it?
They're not in it.
They're not in it, but that's a good guess. Their football team's really good.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
That's it?
I don't know any basketball teams or basketball schools.
Okay, but the opposite, I have to name, what, two Indy 500 drivers or Indy car drivers? I couldn't name any, so.
Oh, it's Formula One, but I don't think you could do that either.
Every time, I always forget, yeah, you're a Formula One guy. Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. It's a good point. Anyway.
Duke was the answer we were looking
for.
Yeah,
Duke.
If I paid attention to the show, then maybe I would have known that.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't expect him to care.
No, I don't. I don't. So. I just figured it'd be funny.
That was funny.
All right, so real quick, I was kind of talking to you about the odds. So I was looking at the different Duke odds for Duke in the tournament. So to win the championship, they're plus 220, which is, I would say, decent. Combined winning margin in tournament by plus 65 is minus 125. Plus 70 is 120, plus 125, plus 75, plus 200. And then plus 80 winning margin is plus 360. Kind of interesting there. To lose in the first round is plus 2,900, which is a 29-1 odds. Last year, it was to one of the first round teams lose was 135-1 odds.
Oh, really?
So, oddsmakers a little more aware that possibly a 16 seed bet might be in there. But do you see anybody beating Duke?
If I had to bet on it, I would not bet against it. against Duke. I told you before the show started, I've filled out four of these now, and every time I get there, I want to not pick them because I feel like everybody is picking them.
Yeah.
But I keep writing them. The one chance I think the best chance we have is if we have a Duke-North Carolina final,
yep.
which would be unbelievable for ratings. But
oh, huge ratings.
They have the best chance because they know them so well.
But they've played them most of the time without Zion.
Exactly. So they did play them with Zion the one time and had a shot in the air that yep. could have won it. The thing about this tournament is, though, is if you told me Michigan State is going to take him out in the Elite Eight, I would not be surprised.
Right.
Because Izzo has that team usually ready to go by March, and they seem to be rolling on all cylinders no matter what the situation is. But like I said, yeah, I would not bet against him. What about you?
I agree with you. I think the North Carolina is a good bet to take them out. But I think they could also overlook some teams early. I don't think they'll lose in the. I think they'll get to the Sweet 16, and that's when it gets more interesting. I think Virginia Tech is an interesting team that could knock them out. And like you said, Michigan State in the Final Four. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But I just think that who's gonna? I don't think anybody can guard Zion. And on the opposite side of the basketball, Zion is so versatile defensively, and he makes such a difference on the glass
right.
and rim protecting. It's one of the reasons why he's basically the highest scouted player. Since LeBron is because
right.
he is that unbelievable.
The one thing that I heard somebody talking about this somewhere on one of the mini radio shows I was listening to, since they're all one and done guys now at these major schools, you do run a risk of having a full, basically five freshmen, and you're playing against a school like Virginia Tech who has more players who've been there a little bit longer, so they have more experience.
Right.
So you're depending on these 19-year-old kids put the weight of the world on their shoulders and say, you have to win because we got Zion.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be shocked if it happened, but typically I go with coaching on these big games, and Coach K is not a bad one to have in your corner if you're Duke.
And there's really only 7 to 8 coaches. I mean, how many realistic teams have a shot to win this? Other than, let's say not.
I think you have all the number one seeds have a good shot.
Right.
I would give you Kentucky, who's a number two seed. Tennessee I like a lot, actually, and maybe Michigan. So what was that?
That's three out of the four. I think other than the one and two seeds, the teams that have a shot to win it, I think Kansas State is a team as a four seed that has a decent shot, and they have to play Virginia, which is arguably the easiest number one seed to go through, or the most vulnerable, I should say. Other than that, I mean, I could see Nevada with Musselman. They've had a good year. They just struggled late in the Mountain West tournament when they lost to, I'm trying to think, who'd they lose to?
They would have to face Michigan in the second round, which is a rough second round matchup if they beat Florida.
Right. They lost to San Diego State, by the way. But yeah, so yeah, Michigan is much better than Nevada. But it's all about who gets hot. Even Texas Tech is one of those teams that could be a Cinderella team. But the problem is I don't see any team above a five seed really making real noise. Not any Butler VCU type noise where they get to the Elite Eight or Final Four.
I agree. I think I have Florida State in the Elite Eight. They're a four seed. I like Iowa State, who are a six seed as well, but I picked it for my bracket, but I don't know if I put money on a Kentucky losing to them. I think this is a very top heavy draft for the most part. I mean, tournament, the most top heavy we've seen in quite a few years. And that being said, it'll probably be upset central.
I know. We're probably going to be way off. So that's okay. I mean, your bracket's going to get busted at some point.
Right.
Just know it's going to happen. Be happy if you pick a couple of upsets, you get a couple of upsets right. That's always a nice confidence booster. But then, for instance, last year when Virginia lost to UMBC, I mean, there's always one game that kind of destroys everybody. And Virginia, I believe, was the team that everyone picked to win it last year.
They were, I think, the most picked number one to win it all, yeah.
Now, if you're going to win your, like, for instance, if you're in one of those tournaments where you have, or not, or I guess it's a tournament where you
a
have
pool, yeah.
a pool with all those brackets, do you want to pick the team that everybody else is going to pick? I mean, do you want to pick Duke? Because everybody's picking Duke.
Right, yeah.
Your odds to win aren't as high.
My general theory with this is, and I do fairly well. I don't necessarily win all of the pools that I play in, but I usually will pick upsets in the first couple rounds,
yeah.
but nothing that's going to cripple me along the way. And then I stay pretty chalk. I go with ones and twos for the most part. And usually, like I said, this year Duke normally in a year like this, like last year, I did not pick Virginia because I thought, okay, everybody's going to pick them, so you need something to differentiate yourself. And then when they went down in the first round, I was set pretty good. So yeah. Something like that happens to Duke this year, and you've picked Michigan to win, or you picked Tennessee or whoever it may be, you're looking much better. But if they do go all the way like everybody's anticipating, then you're really shooting yourself in the foot just because you're trying to get a contrary pick there.
Your best option is to have Duke at least in the Final Four.
I agree. If you don't put them in the Final Four, unless you're a Spartans fan and you want to put Michigan State in there, I could understand that. But I don't see a world they don't make it to the Final Four.
No, me neither. I truly don't. Unless they have just an absolute meltdown. They're just too talented. They have three of the top five picks coming up in the NBA draft. And anytime you put those guys together on a court against guys who aren't going to be drafted, more often than not, you're going to win. So that's why the odds are so heavily in their favor to win. And they're obviously the team that everybody's going to have their eye on. Probably going to be the highest rated games of the entire tournament, obviously until you get to the Elite Eight and Final Four. But I think one thing that also is interesting is there's a lot of these bracketologists saying, oh, it's unbelievable that certain teams are getting, oh, the Oklahoma with a 9 seed. That's unbelievable. And it's like, are you serious? There's 68 teams in this tournament. Not every single, and again, it's impossible to watch every single game. How are you going to know exactly what a certain team should be? Because it's weighted based on conference strength. For instance, the ACC has the strongest conference in college basketball.
Yeah, three number ones.
Yeah, exactly. Compared to the Mountain West with Nevada and Utah State in it. Or the Pac-12 with Oregon. I mean, it has more to do with your conference strength. And I think that's what makes more sense to me than anything. And I think one of the great upsets was St. John's beating Gonzaga. And ironically, they're in their bracket. But they have a play-in game with Arizona State. I believe it's happening right now. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? That thing is anybody can beat anybody, and that's what's so fun about college basketball.
And Arizona State, by the way, is up 35-17 with about 5 minutes left in the first half.
So never mind. St. John's had their miracle, and now they made the tournament. They went dancing, and now their dance is going to end a little early. So, all right, anybody else we're missing that we... Oh, Louisville, Minnesota?
That is an interesting game for sure.
Rick Pitino's son?
The Pitino
on Minnesota?
The Pitino
He's
Bowl.
Definitely going to be there.
You think Rick shows up to
the
game?
Oh, I think he has to, right?
That's going to be some awkward camera angles we're going to be seeing all night on TBS or CBS, whoever's airing that game.
Who is – okay, let me ask you this thing, because we got into this last week with – I asked Sam Clemente about this. Broadcaster-wise, what's your number one crew for the tournament?
Oh, that's a
– Mine's Kevin – I just think Kevin Harlan's the
Harlan
best.
Harlan's
the best.
Basically, Harlan with almost anybody is outstanding. He does so well at – making these games, like, he's just the voice of what you expect down the stretch. I agree with that.
But
I like Greg Anthony a lot when he does games, color commentary.
Yeah, I disagree. I'm not a huge Greg Anthony fan. Reggie Miller's my guy with college basketball. I think Reggie's really good with college basketball. I think he does his homework. I don't know who else is on. Chris Weber, despite being a Sacramento Kings fan, I just don't think Chris Weber's a very good
color analyst.
Kevin, the problem is it's Jim Nantz. Jim Nantz is great.
Jim does a great job. I think he's...
But he's not... I just don't think he's the basketball announcer.
Yeah, he's great at golf and football. Those are the... He's unbelievable.
He's just the CBS guy, and I get that. But Kevin Harlan is the man. Marv Albert will be fantastic as well.
And I know we're running low on time, so I promised my daughter, my four-year-old daughter, wanted me to tell everybody who she picked to win it all.
Okay.
And she has Tennessee Volunteers going all the way this year.
All right.
Taking out Duke in the championship game, which is not... An unreal pick, I don't think so.
I'm a little scared that's going to happen.
For those of you that don't know, she did pick the UMBC taking out Virginia last year. She had it in her bracket.
Unbelievable.
So take that as you fill out your brackets.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, we'll be back next week. We thank you for joining us here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton and Dan Anderson. Good luck to your brackets here in round one and round two, and hopefully don't get busted too early. We'll see you next week.
To dress up like hipsters and make fun of our exes. It feels like a perfect night for breakfast at midnight to fall in love with strangers.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.